Well, I tend to think of the gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There is only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
Honestly, Joe, if you want to bet that hole in one thing, look for some better odds. And I'm not saying you're not getting, if plus 900 is where it is somewhere, that is seriously something that should be like plus 5,000. The odds, just the odds we're talking about in the universe of getting a hole in one, even for players of that caliber, are so remote. The odds of hitting on one three-wheel machine are 10,000 to 1. To hit on three, it's in the millions, it's in the billions. Would not happen. Could not happen. Didn't you see you were getting set up on the first win? Didn't you see you were getting set up on the first win? Welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. My name is Hardy. Today on the show, we'll be talking about getting out for the first time. A lot of us still in that window of playing for the first time this season. So I will share my experience with you. We'll also have a couple of guests from TB12. I can't wait to hear how TB12 is doing in the Boston area these days, right? How's the TB12 business? I met these two guys at the Golf Expo at the beginning of March when this, as crazy as it sounds, end of February, beginning of March, there was no thought of walking into the convention center. And as much as we love to Monday morning quarterback everything in life, including the pandemic, late February, beginning of March, there was no thought of walking into the convention center and not shaking hands with people. Nobody's wearing a mask. No sanitizers, nothing. It was nothing. Didn't exist. There was no thought to it. But the two gentlemen I met Randy Ash and I think I met Chuck at the time, both body coaches with TB12. Obviously, their guy is playing in the match tomorrow. They do a lot of golf fitness stuff, and I have other questions for them, too. We'll be joined by them here in about 12 more minutes. We will recap briefly the TaylorMade match, the driving relief match from last weekend with Ricky Fowler, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson and Matt Wolf. And finally, we will preview the big one tomorrow. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. That is taking place tomorrow, so we will preview that. And if we have time, get to Adam Scott and some other conversations here during the Sports Hub Golf Club. So if you haven't played yet, I think you're probably in the minority at this point. If you are what you know, you would describe yourself as an avid golfer and you have not yet played, you are in a shrinking segment of the population, because I think a lot of people have gotten out by now. As we sat here a week ago, I had not yet played, certainly not the first Saturday after the restrictions were lifted on golf in Massachusetts. And even that following week, just wasn't able to pull it off. Finally got a chance to get out this past Thursday. And if you've gone out, I think your experience will vary greatly depending on where you're playing. And I don't mean in terms of guidelines necessarily, but when we spoke with Scotty Allen, who is the head pro over at George Wright Golf Course last weekend, and he talked about, you know, some of the things that they're doing about, you know, having guys wearing masks in the parking lot and keeping them on and, you know, waiting in a certain area before you walk down to the first tee box And all of that, he said, A, was working out really, really well. B, people were figuring out the online green fee payment. And for the most part, people were you know, going along with it, which I think is great. And I believe at that time, last week on the show, and maybe at some other point in between, I have uttered here on the station or just in passing to friends and stuff, I'm like, you know what? I think our main job, if you want to get out and play right now, because we know we're not essential. You know, we know this is not something that has to be done. It's just something we want. Something we want to be able to go do. And we are convinced we can do it safely. Our main job right now is to not screw it up. Just don't screw it up for everyone else by being a knucklehead and going out there and doing stuff that, okay, they don't want you to do right now. Whether you believe it or not, or whether you believe it's making a difference or not, there's some things you're not supposed to be doing right now, so let's not do those things when we go out and play. My first time out, I almost screwed it up twice. And it just out of sheer habit. I played at the Cape Club in Sharon, and different system in terms of, like, booking tee times for, you know, private courses as opposed to public courses. And, you know, that part of it was easy. And just showed up. And walked up, and, you know, I know I've got my tee time, and I know the head pro there, and John, the assistant professional, who might even be the head pro there, and I don't know. I'm in a little change over there. There's a couple of changes going on. But once I showed up and we got on the course, I almost immediately screwed it up. When I got to the first green, my inclination as I was there was to walk up and grab the flagstick. I actually stuck out my hand to grab a hold of the pin and pull it out for the first guy who was going to putt. Like, it's second nature. Yeah, I pulled my hand back. I didn't. And the world was not going to end had I done it. But these are the things that we are all supposed to be doing so as not to screw it up for everyone else. Okay, that's number one. The second thing I almost did, and this didn't take place until the second hole when I actually holed out a putt. First hole, you know, first real golf hole of the year. This doesn't count back in the beginning of March when a buddy and I walked nine at George Wright. Mid-March it probably was, before the real clampdown started. And we're out there playing. So first hole of the year, you know, on Thursday. I think by the time I had rolled my second putt and it went 2 feet past the hole, either someone said pick it up or it's good, or I just said, you know what, I can go ahead and give myself the double on the first hole. I don't need permission from anybody, okay? I'm going to scoop this. So I didn't hole out a putt until the second hole when I was actually putting for something. And damned if I didn't try and reach down into the cup again. And at the Cape Club, they've got the little handle thing where you take your putter, and I said, oh, okay. So I did that, and it pops right out. Cool. Couple holes later, I go down like a halfwit and try and grab the handle with my hand to pull it up. It's a tiny little differences. So you get past that. Don't be a knucklehead like I almost was a couple of few times. Do what we have to do, and we'll be able to keep playing. Okay, great. The one thing I will say that I forgot to do, and I don't know who got this into my head years ago, that using the ball washers out there on the golf course was not the thing to do. It probably had something to do with the fact that for a couple of summers, I worked at a golf course. I was never a member of a club. My family was never a member at any club, but I worked at a private club. And I was a cart kid the first year and worked my way up into working in the shop and, you know, doing the tee sheet and working as a starter. But still, for the most part, you're out there running around the course and you're doing things sometimes to help out some of the maintenance guys. And every course has a different system for who does what. But oftentimes it was my job to go out on the course, fill up some water coolers, make sure the ball washers had, you know, the squirt of detergent in them or whatever we were using, or the mixture and a little bit of water in there. And I just always thought they were kind of gross. And think about it. You know, you've got filthy golf balls going in there, and you're scrubbing off the dirt and it's mixing in there, and it's just, it's filthy water by whatever time of day after a certain number of players have gotten a chance to use it. So I'm not a big user of ball washers out on the course. What I prefer to do is, again, this is from the very brief amount of time I spent caddying as a young man, which I was too little to do and had no business doing it. And the caddy master is one of the worst people I've ever met in my entire life. So this, you know, as a 13-year-old, this was not a job that I stuck with for very long. But got in the habit of carrying a big towel and wetting it on one end. And that's what I use to clean the ball off. Generally, when I'm playing, you know, just either alone or with other people. I forgot to wet the towel. And it was dry. And oftentimes, not a problem for me because I'll hit it into the thick stuff where I don't care if you haven't had rain for 3 days. Down in that deep rough, the grass is still wet. So I will I will have an opportunity to get my towel a little bit wet at some point during the round. I didn't have that opportunity. So no ball washers and no opportunity to even wet my towel unless you're going to walk down toward a pond and dip it in there. So I would say that if you haven't had made it out there yet and you're looking to avoid a couple of mistakes that I either made or almost made, wet your golf towel before you go out because there aren't going to be any ball washers out there. And try and keep your hands off of things that you're supposed to keep your hands off of, which I managed to do, but barely. All right. As I said, a couple of guests here this morning, Randy Ash, Chuck Gilman, both body coaches for TB12. One's in Boston. The other's in Foxborough. They will both join us via telephone coming up next on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Consider us your radio caddy, the Sports Hub Golf Club on 88.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Hardy here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Hope you're having a good Saturday so far. TB12 body coaches Randy Ash and Chuck Gilman are joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Let's see if I can press this button here to talk to both of them at the same time through the magic of radio and telephonic communications. Do I have you both, Randy, Chuck?
Yes, we are here. Thanks for having us.
Well, thanks for being on, guys. Now, Randy, you and I met at the expo back in, I was trying to figure this out. Was it late February? Was it the expo like Feb 28, 29 or something this year?
Yeah.
Okay. Back then, Chuck, did I meet you also?
No, you met one of our other colleagues.
I thought so. I remember Randy and the name and everything. I'm like, I don't think Chuck and I actually met that day. So, all right. Well, Randy, it's good to talk to you again. Chuck, good to talk to you for the first time. You guys must be just pleased as pigs in poop that your guy, that Tom Brady himself, is not only going to be playing golf this weekend, but it gives you a chance to show off the magic that is TB12 and how it can relate to the golf course. This is like a Super Bowl for a body coach who has anything to do with golfers when the namesake of your company is going to be on the course this weekend, huh?
Oh, absolutely. It's great for the company. It's great for everyone, and to kind of get our name out there and be able to show you guys kind of what Tom can do out there. I'm excited to see him and Phil beat Tiger.
Now, what if he stinks? Let's be honest here. What if you know, to borrow from Tin Cup and Roy McIlroy, what if his swing looks like an unfolded long chair? People are like, wow, you know, he might be pliable enough to play quarterback at the age of 42, but he does not look all that pliable with his golf swing. Do you have a disaster scenario plan in place?
Well, Tom's a tremendous athlete. He's elite. His body's always prepared because of the method him and Alex have developed. So we're confident he's going to show out tomorrow, and we're excited to watch.
All right. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about this partnership you guys are doing. I believe it's with the New England PGA. This is something that, Randy, you spoke about in an email. I don't have anything else about it, but something TB12 is doing with the PGA here in New England?
Yeah. So TB12 is partnering with the New England PGA, And the goal is to develop a mutual relationship where our body coaches can help educate both the PGA professionals about pliability, the TB12 method, and educate their members as well. And on the flip side, you know, we get to share some of what we're doing with the golf community in New England, because I think what we're doing with pliability is great for all athletes, first off, but especially for golfers, because it's so applicable to longevity. Golf is such a sport that you want to play for a long time, and pliability allows you to do that.
You know, I've talked about this with various guests throughout the years. Paul Gusbeckian is a good buddy of mine, and he is as fit as he is and as strong as he is. He preaches pliability more than anything else, because, Chuck, I think you can probably speak to this as well. The strength that you might lose either in your core, in your legs or shoulders, whatever, it's not going to impact you nearly as much as your ability to make that turn and to make full turns with your hips, your shoulders, and do everything that you need to do. That's where the power is going to come from. That's where the club head speed is going to come from. And I think that's what, you know, this speaks to me on a personal level, too. As you get older, the things that you really need to work on. It's not as important strength-wise, I don't think, as much as it is, you know, keeping yourself loose and able to make that turn so you can swing the club.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the first thing is as we get older, and even at a younger age, if we don't have that ability to be able to recruit those muscles at 100% capacity, you're just going to be able to become inefficient, and that's going to lead to swing faults that we just all don't want. And then you're going to end up with that inability, like you said, to lose that turn, be able to get into that back hip and be able to generate that power. And, you know, it becomes frustrating. And with pliability, that allows us to be able to restore all those things and be able to perform at our peak performance for as long as possible.
All right, Randy Ash and Chuck Gilman, they're both body coaches. You guys are both body coaches. TB12, Randy, you're in Boston, the Boylston location, that's correct?
Yep, correct.
Okay, and Chuck is down at the Foxborough location, where I assume you guys have either had to stop seeing clients there in person for the most part, but are you doing anything online? Are you doing anything with your clients right now, or people who want to get started on some of this stuff virtually?
Chuck, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah, so as we are doing a virtual sessions, you know, we're running at 30-minute sessions typically, and yeah, a lot of our golfers who were coming in prior to our centers being closed have done these virtual sessions, but we're happy to say that, you know, a few weeks ago we were able to open, and some of these golfers have come into this center, and other athletes and non-athletes have been able to come in and be able to get the hands-on body work and pliability treatment that that we provide. So it's been very exciting, and everyone's very excited to get back into the center, but also virtually.
All right, so you've also got something that's an 8-week performance program, and I have no idea what this is and what it works on, but is this something that you can do at, like, yet with various body coaches or TB12 guys, and is it specifically geared toward golf, Randy?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me give you a look inside a day or a session with the golf performance program. So our first session, what we do is we evaluate how someone moves biomechanically in their swing. So we're not swing experts, we're not PGA coaches, but we are experts at looking at someone's physiology, how they move. So we can detect any kind of, you know, movement pattern dysfunctions, any compensation patterns people have developed. And then we use the TB12 method to start to correct those. And that's the deep force pliability work that Chuck was talking about. That's functional exercises. So in that first session, what we do is we gather some objective data using a TrackMan launch technology. And we're looking more at, you know, how they can develop power. So we're looking at club head speed, we're looking at carry, we're looking at ball speed, smash factor. But we're not so worried about the actual swing mechanics. We'll leave that to the golf coaches, right? We're not looking at launch angle or anything like that. So we take those numbers, we ask the client, what's their goal? Because we're always goal-driven. If you want to generate more club head speed, great, that's what we're going to work towards. If you want to feel better on the course, if you have an injury, great, we can help treat that and make you feel better and learn how to sustain that good feeling at home. So give you the tools you need to go off into the future and be self-sustaining feeling really good playing.
Well, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you guys today, because we've had plenty of guys on giving us tips for, you know, whether it's full swing tips, putting tips, mm-hmm. short game stuff. But the one thing that seems to resonate, and no one can disagree with, and whether I'm talking with you guys from TB12 or Paul or Caitlin or any of the people I've had on over the years, everyone agrees, like, if you feel better, you're going to be able, you are at the very least going to enjoy yourself better, because you're not going to be in pain, and you're not going to be able, and you're going to be able to move better. That is going to free up your body to do the things that you want to do. It may not instantly make you a better player, but it will at least remove the barriers that will allow you to make that turn, to make that swing, to do it pain-free, and to do it without any hindrances that might be there, because you're simply blocked for one reason or another.
Yeah, well said, Hardy. It's confidence, feeling good, feeling confident on the course. And, we can help you feel that confidence by eliminating the pain.
All right. It's Randy Ash here and Chuck Gilman, body coaches, TB12. How is the TB12 business in general? Because, Peyton Manning, during the lead up to this match that's taking place tomorrow, he was taking shots. Saying like, Tom Brady, he's hated in Denver. He's hated in Kansas City. He's hated in Boston. Ha, ha, ha. I mean, this is a tenuous time for the Tom Brady brand in Boston. Is everything okay with you guys?
I think it's better than ever. People are excited to get back in. People are excited to do the virtual sessions. And, they just want to feel better. And that's what the pliability treatments allow for these individuals to do so. And, they're all fans of Tom. I'm a fan of Tom, and, we're just grateful for what he's done. But, we get people flying in from all over the country and be able just to experience what we do.
I have to ask you about the Protect, too. This was a big story this week, as the bottle of vitamins there with the vitamin C and stuff. It was it seemed interesting, the timing of the promotion of this particular TB12 product. Are you guys in any way implying that this Protect supplement can help you against the coronavirus?
We're not implying that it's in any way protecting about the coronavirus. The goal of our supplementation is to enhance the immune system's function. Now, in our daily life, there are a lot of stressors, right? It could be from lack of sleep, if you drink too much alcohol, if you've had a stressful day at work. And this all depletes our body's ability to be able to handle the stressors, and that lowers our immunity. So all these ingredients that we've added into this product improves the ability for our cells to function and to fight off any sort of, negative factors that come into our body and keep us healthy and doing all the things that we love to do, such as golf or work and all those things. Randy, you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think it's important when we look at any supplement, we use that word supplement because it's supposed to add on to what we're doing in our daily life already. And TB12 is first off all about, taking that holistic approach, working on your diet, making improvements every day to your hydration, your mindset. And when we have clients in the center, we always address those and come back to them to help the client build a better lifestyle. So the Protect supplement is great to add on top of that to boost that immune system, especially now in a time where everyone's a little bit more stressed.
All right. Well, I will say this much. There's a lot of ways that you can, get some of these supplement things. And of course, it was actually Felger and I were having a conversation about this off the air. While I tend to disagree with the need for expensive supplements, especially if there are, some more common ingredients, with vitamin C and other things like that. And again, Felger would be maybe the guy you would think that would, be railing against this too. He's on board with most of this stuff because, generally speaking, a better health is going to lead to better immunity, and better overall health is going to lead to just better well-being. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's a reason why some of the people who are most at risk right now are some of the more susceptible people are dealing with other health factors. So if you can improve your health in any way, it's certainly not going to hurt you. There's pretty good evidence, at least based on, you know, what's happening out there right now, that it can help. But I think the major takeaway from what you guys have said today is the idea of something we've been touting on this show for years, the pliability, the flexibility, which is not a word I know you guys like to use as much as the pliability, but that is as important as anything when it comes to golf. Putting all the supplement stuff aside and anything else that, you know, someone might be trying to sell you, there is nothing but evidence supporting the idea that being able to move better is going to help you feel better, and in this case, Randy, help you play better golf.
Absolutely. Well said, Hardy. Flexibility, we have nothing against flexibility. It's just way of thinking. Flexibility, how far you can move your joint. Mobility, how well you can move overall. And then pliability, how long can you bend before you break? And in Tom's case, he's been able to bend for so long because of this active approach he takes to his health. And that's what we want to share with the golf community in New England and all over the country.
All right, Randy Ash and Chuck Gilman, good luck to your guy tomorrow. I don't know why they put, you know, Tom with Phil. Maybe you guys have some insight on that. I mean, I think the Tom and Tiger pairing would have been fascinating. I would have liked to have seen Tom and Peyton actually team up for like six holes of this match and do the round robin. But I think it's going to be entertaining either way. So I'll say good luck to Tom and good luck to you guys going forward with TB12. Randy, thanks for the time.
Thank you, Hardy.
Thank you.
Yeah, Chuck, I appreciate your time too. Thanks, guys. That's Randy Ash, body coach, TB12 Boston. Chuck Gilman, body coach at TB12 in Foxborough. We will continue. We will recap what happened last weekend in the TaylorMade Driving Relief match and talk more about the match with Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning, Tiger Woods taking place tomorrow, all coming up here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
This is the show that helps you put it in the hole. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Right back at it here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. It's Hardy. Before we get to our recap of the TaylorMade match from last weekend, let's go to Lenny calling from. Oh my God, it's the Lenny. All right, I didn't know. I can tell already. I can tell by the way you breathe who this is. Lenny Clark. Hello, Lenny.
Well, good morning, Hardy. I must tell you, I am so excited that your golf show is back.
Oh, thank you. And you don't even like golf.
I don't like it, but I play it. And, well, if you see me, it's not actually playing. But, Hardy, you make golf interesting. That's what I mean. I'm driving a car listening to you. Man, yeah, I didn't think of you. And you make it fun. You make golf fun, which it should be, you know? Well, and, by the way, we got to play. You and I have to definitely play.
So where are we going to play? Because, you know, you're one of these island dwellers. You know, you're one of these one of these ritzy guys. You know, where are we going to play where you're going to feel comfortable?
Oh, I'll never feel comfortable, but we can play wherever you want because me being who I am and you being Hardy, the golf guy. But I call my friend. I call my friend up at the International. Have you been up there?
Yeah, I don't think they're open right now.
No, don't worry about it. I got a guy. Well, our buddy Brendan Riley, the golf pro up there, and Dan Weedock and Kevin Weedock, the entire Weedock. You got time for a quick story?
I got time for what?
A quick story?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I always wanted to go to the John Havlicek Golf and Fishing Tournament. And they said, well, Lenny, we'd love to have you. You're a great guy, but you're so filthy. We can't handle it. We get nice people. So when I said to Brian McLaughlin, I said, Brian, I'll be on my best behavior. He said, okay, we'll give it a shot. So I went down there, and I ended up doing the auction for them, made them a ton of money, and they let me perform. So now I'm down there with all these athletes, and I got to be friends with John Havlicek and Bob Cousy and, you know, the Brooks Robinson. I mean, just incredible stuff. And I met this guy, and he said, we went out on the boat because you have to fish. That was the big thing. And Cousy said to me, man, I love John, but I hate fishing. I go, yeah, me too. I'm not into it. So I rode on this boat with a guy who said, boy, I hate Christian. I said, well, you want to take a nap? And he looked at me. What are you talking about? I said, there's two beds down. He said, you can have one. I'll take the other. So we went down. We took a beautiful nap. A lot of fish. I go, look, take a picture of fish. Now we can show we fish. He goes, I cannot thank you enough for this. This is one of the best days I ever had. If you ever want to golf, I got a little place up in near Bolton, Mass., called the International. So anyway, I'm up at doing something for Dennis Leary at the Worcester Country Club.
You know? Oh, nice.
Yeah, I get invited to places that normally would throw me out. Anyway, so on the way home, I said to my wife, hey, I got a guy. She says, you always know a guy. I said, I want to know this guy at the International. So we pull up, and I said, hey, she said, sure, this is a private club. I said, is Dan around? They go, Dan Weedock? I go, yeah, I think that's it. He says, let me make a call. I said, well, they want you to wait for him in the clubhouse. So I go in, and the guy comes up. He said, Mr. Weedock would like you to have lunch. He's going to be held up a few minutes. So I looked at the menu, and my wife said, there's no prices. I go, must mean it's free. So I went a lobster and everything. And I'm back up. And out comes the Weedock. And he says, you enjoying this? I said, very much. He says, you want another lobster? I go, yeah, I like that. And he said, I said, how long have you been a member? He goes, member, I own the place. I said, what? Yeah. So he said, you can golf here anytime. So I get to be good friends with him and his family, and I've been golfing there since, I don't know, 25 years now. Crazy.
That's beautiful. Lenny, and it just goes to show you, like, the only thing better than being a member is being a fake member. Because when you're a fake member, you know, you don't have to go to any meetings. And hopefully don't have to pay any dues. That's the best.
Those hideous dues you have to pay.
Oh, they're the worst. They're the worst. Yeah. All right, Lenny, let's do it. Let's get out and play. I'm gonna call you off the air. We're going to set it up, okay?
Hey, what's your handicap?
I'm like 11. I finished the year at 11.8. Legit right now, we go play somewhere, especially a course I'd never played before, I'm going to play to about a 15, I would guess.
Oh, man. Hottie, I'm a solid 27, but I got lots of great stories and jokes, lots of jokes.
Oh, Lenny, this has been my mantra for years, right? If you're going to play golf, you got to be two of three things. You got to be good, be fun, or be fast. Good left me a long time ago, but I have a good time out there, and I play quick. If I'm laying four and I'm not on the green, my ball's in my pocket, and I'm talking crap to everybody else. So that's how I play.
I was a speed golfer. Well, I started golfing when I was doing blow. So I was a very fast. No one ever said, mind if I play through? I said, come on, pick it up. Oh, I can't find the ball. Here's two. Let's go. Keep it moving. And I got to be good friends with Alex Cooper.
Oh, he's a good player.
He scratched.
Yeah, yeah.
A representative of Callaway, you know. And I asked him how he, you know, what got him into golf. He said, that's how we beat the drugs, by golfing.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, if you're going to keep that early morning tea time and you pull the all-nighter the night before, it makes that round miserable. So you commit to being there for golf, it's going to get you to bed earlier the night before. Lenny, thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you soon, huh?
I love it. And now you still have the Hardy Show, too, right?
Oh, Hey, It's Hardy is coming up at 9 a.m., a.k.a. Sports Hub Golf Club Afterglow. That's what we're calling it.
Hey, man, you make radio fun again.
All right, thanks, Lenny. You're the best. I'll talk to you soon, buddy. All right, Lenny Clark. There he goes. I play golf with Lenny. I play golf with anybody. Tucker, you and I got to go play. How have we never played golf?
I don't know.
It's criminal.
We talk a lot of golf.
We talk a lot of golf. We talk about playing, but we, you know, just actually getting out there and doing it, that's where it gets interesting. By the way, Lenny mentioned the Worcester Country Club there. I played there twice in my life. Once years ago with a friend of mine named Scott Hawley, who was a very, very good player. And then again last year with another buddy of mine, Tony. The first time I played it years ago was kind of rainy and drizzly, and I played okay, right? I played well enough. I thought I had enough game to go out there and play well at Worcester when I went out and played it a second time at the end of last summer. Good God, y'all. If there's any wind blowing on that, first of all, amazing golf course. I think Worcester Country Club is probably one of the underappreciated. It is. It is one of the more underappreciated clubs in this state, in this region. But with a little bit of wind blowing, oh my God, that place ate my lunch. And it's a phenomenal layout and just a nice place. And it's a great place to play. But bring your game. And if it's windy that day and you're not feeling it, you might want to fake an illness, because that course will take you to task. But it was a very, very nice experience both times I played it. Enjoyed it immensely. The other thing I didn't mention at the very top here is I got a chance to get out and play first time, like post, ban being lifted. The conditions, and I'm hearing this from all over the place. I'm hearing this from New Hampshire and Connecticut and Rhode Island, and especially here in Massachusetts, where most of these courses have maintained as though golf were going to start any moment now, but without having all those pesky golfers out there on the course, taking divots, putting ball marks in the greens, taking beaver pelts off the tee boxes. So when I showed up to play, and this was a week and a half after people were allowed out there, the conditions were immaculate. The conditions at the Cape Club were fantastic. I walked on during, the ban, because I just like to walk that golf course, and I've been out there, so I know what the conditions are like out there. But they are not alone. I'm hearing it from everywhere. I don't know if you've experienced it, Tucker.
So I've been out a few times, not to name courses, because one of the greens, it was like putting on a carpet. Plymouth Country Club, they had a tremendous green. It was really fast, really well-maintained. The fairways were beautiful. The tee boxes were immaculate. Obviously it's because golfers haven't been out there, really. So it's been great.
And I drove past Franklin Park yesterday. Which, if you haven't played any of the city courses in a long time, it seems like I say this every year on the show. If you haven't played George Wright in a while, you don't even know. You have no idea.
I've never even been there.
Okay, it is an amazing golf course. Yeah. The amount of work that they have done over there in the years, and it's a Donald Ross to begin with. I mean, you're starting with a template of a great golf course, number one. But Franklin Park, which I describe as being the hardest short wide open course you'll ever play. I didn't get a chance to get close to it, but I drove past it yesterday. Looked like the conditions out there were beautiful too. So it doesn't have to be, Worcester Country Club, right? It doesn't have to be all the golf courses, I believe, benefited from having a spring where the weather was not great for golf, but there was certainly plenty of moisture. You don't want too much. You get a greenskeeper on here, he'll tell you water can be, the devil as well as a blessing. It depends on, you got to just get the right amount. But the courses themselves, conditions-wise, I think you'll find across the state are fantastic. So we got that going for us, which is nice. All right, let's do a quick recap of the TaylorMade thing when we return. And then we'll start previewing the Tiger Payton Phil Brady thing. That might bleed into the 9 o'clock hour of the Sports Hub Golf Club wrap up show with Gary Delabate and John Hine and Opry Sports Hub Golf Club beginning at 9 a.m. Whatever, we'll seamlessly
golf club twilight
golf mimosas. Let's just call it mimosas.
okay.
Starting at 9 a.m. as this, but for now. The Sports Hub Golf Club continues.
Constantly hitting it from the rough. This is the show for you. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Let us get back to the phones here. 617-779-0985. Go to Rich in Weston. Rich, you're on the Sports Hub Golf Club. What's going on?
Good morning, Hardy. I love your show. I used to get up at 6 in the morning, and my wife thought I was nuts, but, I never missed it.
That's very nice. Thanks, Rich.
But my question is, with the governor having opened up Massachusetts for golf a couple of weeks ago, both Leo J. Martin in Weston and Ponkapog down in Canton are still locked up tight. And trying to find out through normal channels why has been impossible. Nobody answers the phone there. DCR doesn't respond. I even sent an email to the Mass Golf Association and Jesse Meacham And believe me, Jesse's done yeoman's work here to get the courses open, and they don't seem to have any idea either. Yeah. And it just seems a little unfair, given that those courses really do appeal to folks that would love to be outside. A lot of seniors play at Leo J.
Yep.
From Newton and Weston.
Yep.
But anyway, if you have any idea how to find out what's going on and use the power of your position, which is considerable, it would really be appreciated.
Well, Rich, I can only tell you what I've heard, and this is not what I know with regard to those two courses, which operate, as you said, under the same umbrella of the DCR. And, you know, Ponkapog is close to my home. I drive past it, you know, every day in Canton. And Leo J also, you know, under the umbrella of the DCR. It was my understanding up until about a week or so ago that both of these courses were running into issues with the actual online tee time payment, exchanging of money in order to get people on the course, you know, and it seems like an easy problem to fix. But for a lot of these courses, you mentioned like the older players, and when Scott was on last weekend from George Wright, I played at George Wright, I've played there for years and used to live a mile away from there. And it's a lot of the same people who have been going there for decades. And like you said, a lot of older players. And let's face it, some, you know, if you're talking about a segment of the golfing population that maybe is going to be less likely to go online and make a tee time and hand over their credit card information, it's not second nature to them. It might be that older group. And from what I understand or what I heard, there were issues with trying to set up not only the payment, but the exchange and like, where does the money go and all that stuff, because it wasn't something that they did at least exclusively up until this point. So, Rich, I'll keep looking into it. Why don't you give me a call next weekend, and we'll see what more information I can get, and hopefully there'll be some movement by then, all right?
You know, Hardy, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Rich. That makes a lot of sense.
All right, I appreciate it.
Leo J is the DCR would be in a different system than say, George Wright and Franklin Park and so on.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, thanks, Rich. And then I also got on very good information right when the courses started opening and the ban was lifted, and the guidelines were restricted so people could play golf again, that Fresh Pond in Cambridge would not be among them. Cambridge operating, and each municipality has their ability to make their own rules. And we've seen it, you know, in different towns. Somerville is a good example. Different places doing different things according to what they want to do for their public health standards. But, at the onset, unless something has changed here recently, Fresh Pond in Cambridge, another course, you know, a public course. And I played that many times when the station was over in Brighton. Went to hop over to Fresh Pond and walk a quick nine and just, you know, get out and swing the wrenches, as Billy Lanny likes to say. They were not so. Oh, golf is allowed now. So what? Somebody said, not the guys at Fresh Pond, not the guys working at the course. Believe me, anybody who is operating a golf course right now wants to be open and wants you to play. Whether they are allowed to open is a totally different story. We'll step aside here quickly, grab some headlines, and then we will. Tucker, we got to figure it out. Is it an extension of the Sports Hub Golf Club? Is it Sports Hub Golf Club Afterglow? Is it Opry Sports Hub Golf Club? Or do we just go full-blown, hey, it's Hardy?
I like hey, it's Hardy, but I didn't hate your idea of mimosas.
Okay.
Just mimosas.
So on the other side of the headlines, let's do hey, it's Hardy, with the caveat that it is also the Sports Hub Golf Club wrap-up show right up until 10 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Hardy. Coming over to play.
It's a good time intro, isn't it?
Come in your house.
And he your car, your headphones, wherever.
Hey, it's Hardy.
It's me.
Come into my house. Hey, it's Hardy.
I get the warm fuzzies every time I hear the Hey, It's Hardy intro. Welcome to the Hey, It's Hardy show, right up until 10 o'clock here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, a.k.a. Sports Hub Golf Club wrap-up show, a.k.a. Opre Sports Hub Golf Club, a.k.a. Twilight, a.k.a. Mimosas. Think of it as a post-round in the evening. Think of it as, you're not gonna trick me, fella. It's still a weekend morning. That's why we give you multiple ways of thinking and naming the show. But it's all here for you on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's a good thing we granted ourselves extension rights of the Sports Hub Golf Club, because as we like to say in sports talk radio, there's so much we need to get to. There's so much left. Oddly, there is. This time, it's not a lie. Yeah. I'm not saying we have been lying to you on a daily basis when we say, oh, there's a lot of stuff going on. What with no sports and all, sometimes it's a stretching of the truth. But there is a lot to get to. We haven't even talked really about last weekend's match between Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Matt Wolf. So let's do that quickly here. The match that took place last weekend, I had a bad feeling about as soon as it began. And I wasn't home for the very beginning of it. I had to run out, but I was listening to it. Yeah, I listened to golf on the radio in the car, so what? I was listening to it, and I could tell from the way they announced the players on the first tee box, I'm like, oh, any chance that this has as being like a loose, fun, you know, let's go out there and play a little grab ass on the golf course and talk some smack to each other. Those hopes were put to sleep almost immediately when they started doing the formal announcements. I'm so-and-so Florida, Ricky Fowler. I'm like, there's no audience there. There's no one there. What are you doing? Who are you talking to? All right, gentlemen, we are a flip a coin here to see who goes first. I would have liked it so much more had they done away with any kind of pomp and circumstance, and there wasn't a lot, but even the tiniest little bit. Just do what you and I would do if you and I were going to play, right? Who's got honors in the first day? T, what do you do? Take a tee out of your pocket, flip it in the air. Whoever it's pointed to, you go first. Boom. That's how you play a friendly match. Oh, there's all this money on the line. Yeah, but it's still what those guys were doing. It was for fun. It was for a good cause. Loosen up. They had someone from the PGA Tour walking along, you know, with the full-blown khakis and the long-sleeve shirt tending the pin. And a lot of this depends on the personality of the players. And I like all those guys who were playing last weekend. Rory McIlroy is a really friendly guy. Dustin Johnson is an interesting guy, you know, personally, I think. He's one of these dudes that I root for generally on a weekly basis on the tour, just because I don't think he's, you know, one of these, robotic types that you see. Matt Wolf is fascinating to watch from his swing alone, but a young guy who has already got a win on the PGA Tour and hits the ball a mile. And I wanted to really see more personality wise, but instead they've got Tirico at home in Michigan. He's doing the commentating. They got a couple other guys in studio at somewhere else in Florida. And there's, for some reason, maybe it's just out of habit, for the same reason that I tried to grab the flagstick when I played the other day, just out of habit, they still kind of speak in the golf whisper. When these guys, and they're just out there, it's fun. They're raising millions of dollars for COVID-19 relief. Let's have a good time with this. But they still felt the need to give it like some proper commentating. And the only thing that you could count on throughout the course of the match, once you got into the first 20 or 30 minutes, was the constant drone of the blimp overhead. You know, there were times when I think Rory or Ricky may have said something funny, but really all you could hear was the what the hell is that?
A bee?
It was the frickin' blimp. because they couldn't get enough cameras down the course, and there's no other sound to like drown it out. So, all right, so Rory and DJ got the win.
Called it.
What's the call? Ricky Fowler is the best player playing out there right now who hasn't won a major. That's my opinion. That's how I feel. He's good. Yeah, Wolf, fantastic. He's only got one win on tour so far, but he just got out there, and, you know, give him some time. But you give me Rory and Dustin Johnson in a match, I'll take them against most teams, including Ricky Fowler and Matt Wolf. So, yeah, they won that. I was not correct on the long drive. I thought DJ would pull that out, and Matt Wolf ended up crushing the ball, just absolutely murdering the ball off a couple of tees, and he ended up winning the long drive portion of it. I did enjoy seeing those guys walk and carry their clubs. I thought it was just a brief glimpse of the of what it's like for all of us, and to see these guys walking and carrying their clubs for 18 holes. And it's not a tough thing to do. I mean, I haven't played, and I went out and we didn't get 18 in because we teed off late on Thursday, but I routinely walk and carry my clubs for 9, but we squeezed in 13 holes when we played on Thursday before it got too dark. I carried the whole time. You can absolutely do it. And I also think it could mean something for tomorrow's match. More on that in a minute. The one thing that I thought was really fascinating about it, and I did not watch every shot and every putt, because frankly, I think like a lot of things during this, you know, this coronavirus thing, what should have been great just kind of ended up being lackluster television. It just wasn't that great of a show to watch. So I didn't watch every single thing, but more than a couple of times, I saw some bad putting. I'm like, oh, like from 12 feet away, missing putts by a foot on the low side of the hole. Like, ugh, that doesn't look like the putt of a PGA Tour player. What are they doing? What the hell was that? Well, part of it, I believe, not every guy uses their caddy to help them with reading of putts and the reading of greens. But what almost every single tour pro does use is a green reading book. And these books are put together and are for sale. One of the biggest producers of them is Pro Green Book Limited. And they have detailed graphics of each and every hole, of each and every green, on just about every course these guys play. Not at the Masters, not allowed there, can't take a green book with you. But if you check out Pro Green Book and look at some of the graphics and what these books look like, and you wonder, how are these guys so good? How can they read the green? How do they know that the... Well, because according to the green book, I'm going to read from a golf.com article about these green books. A 2.5 degree slope in the middle of the green steepens to 8.9 degrees at the front of the green. If the pin's in front, get ready for a slick downhill putt if you miss long. Phil Mickelson, who has always been a great short game player and has fiddled around with his putting stroke over the years with the forward press and different things, he said, this is a quote, "All my practice is built around those green books. In my yard, I have a green with 1, 2, 3, and 4 degree slopes. I practice on that so I can equate it to the green books when I play." These guys have the most detailed maps of these greens, and they study them, and the caddies study them, and they know. And as they're walking up, no, they're not necessarily pouring over there on the green, pouring over them on the green, unless you're Bryson DeChambeau, but they're looking at them as they're walking up to the green. They are working on reading that putt long before they get up there, and they have more than just an idea of what way the green is going to break, at what degree it will break, and how it will change along the path of it, based on these super intense maps of the greens, which, quite obviously, they did not have last weekend when those guys were playing at Seminole. Now, how's that going to factor in for tomorrow's match? What else can we expect from tomorrow's match? We'll talk about that coming up next.
If you want to play below par, keep listening. This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tucker, did you record this off your clock radio when you were 6 years old?
Not the best.
What are you doing? What are you doing? You pulled this on your own?
I did.
Okay. I'm going to ask.
See, I tried to use my subscription music service, and my wife is at home listening to it, so I resorted to this last
minute.
Could
you do me a favor? I don't want you to fade this out. I want you to stop it abruptly. I want you to stop. It's giving me a headache.
I'm sorry.
That's our first real hiccup of the morning between you and I, and we were getting along so well.
You know,
I don't know. I don't
swing and a miss.
I don't know what that was.
YOLO.
Yeah, I. The second hiccup of the morning.
Do you know music? Yeah,
that's the third hiccup of the morning. Wow, 1, 2, 3.
Strike two.
That's three.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, three? Sit down, son.
All right.
Hit the life boy there, Tucker. Tom Tucker Silva. God. All right, so the match is happening tomorrow. It's Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. All right, so I'll give you all the details here so you know when and where to watch. They're going to tee off at 3 p.m. However, there will be a one-hour pre-match coverage and a preview show. So that will start at 2 p.m. This is why people are saying it's going to be 5 hours. Not really. They're going to do an hour show leading up to it, and then the actual match will begin at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. It's going to air on TNT. They're going to put it on a bunch of different platforms, too. So you can watch on TNT, TBS, True TV, HLN, live streamed on several different Turner websites, and... I guess you can use your phone to watch it on a couple of different apps. If you want to watch on your computer or smart TV, you can watch it on TNTdrama.com or TBS.com. All right. We'll get to all the prop bets. I know that Joe and Dan did a bunch this morning on the DraftKings over-under show. So we will we'll do some more of the prop bets a little bit later on. But in terms of the... What they're playing for. You remember a couple of Thanksgivings ago, Tiger and Phil played in the match, and they were playing for $9-10 million, some obscene amount of money that just one guy took home. Obviously, this is different this time, as they were playing for charity. So, donated by Warner Media, at least $10 million. That's the least amount they will end up donating toward coronavirus relief efforts. So I will remind myself, and we should all remind ourselves, if there's something we don't like about this, or it's lackluster, or there's anything that's going on, remember, they have committed to giving at least $10 million for various charities. The All In Challenge, the Red Cross, Direct Relief, Save Small Business. So these are important. This is why I'm going to try and not be as critical. If there are things about it that aren't great, we're all starved for entertainment right now. And honestly, whether we're watching The Last Dance or whether we're watching, replays of, Ultimate Championships from a year ago, thank you for putting something on for us to be entertained by. Apparently, Charles Barkley is going to be joining them for one hole tomorrow. And he has a chance to make an additional $200,000 for charity. Did you know about this, Tucker? Barkley's going to join them for one hole. If Charles Barkley can make bogey or better, they will throw in an additional $200,000 for charity.
Now, where's Joe Murray when you need him for those odds? Jeez.
Ooh. I mean, depending on the Does it even depend on the hole?
No, it doesn't matter. Par three, par five, doesn't matter.
Some of the easiest holes out there. But here's my favorite example. Number two at President's in Quincy. It's like a 90-yard par three. I've had people say, oh, that's ridiculous. It's not even a real golf hole. Okay, drop three balls down on the tee box and make par or better with all three and tell me it's not a real golf hole, right? It's like number one, like at a par three course, number one down at Blue Rock, down the Cape, right? You got this tiny little, like, less than 100-yard par three with the tee box right outside the clubhouse. Your first swing of the day is a three-quarter wedge. Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, this
those
is...
Those are some of the toughest holes in golf.
Yeah, I find those to be the most intimidating,
yes,
to be honest.
Of course. Of course. So, see, I'm already liking this. Barkley's going to get on there and play with those guys for a hole if he can make bogey or better. Someone's going to donate an additional $200,000. Now, if Barkley doesn't make bogey or better, will Barkley go into his own pocket for $200,000? Maybe, probably. It's the joy of watching somebody like Barkley try and make. He doesn't have to make a birdie, right? It's not a hole in one chance for a $200,000 charitable donation. No, bogey or better. Oh, I love it. That's great. It's all taking place at the Medalist, which is Tiger's home course. And Peyton Manning is also very familiar with this course. It is long. So from where Tiger and Phil presumably will be playing from the tips, they're almost at 7,600 yards. And even, I don't know if it was from back there that Tiger shot the course record of a 62 back in 2011, but this is going to give Tiger the advantage on the greens and just about everywhere. So yeah, that'll give more, you know, on the Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady side, you know, that they can be viewed as underdogs here. Tom Brady can go along with his long-standing notion that he is an underdog in sports or in life. The guy with the six Super Bowl rings and the supermodel wife is somehow an underdog in anything, has been laughable for many of us for many years, but he can claim true underdog status in this one. According to the handicap indexes, Tom is an 8-point-something and Peyton is a 6-point-something. And if you were to take Phil Mickelson versus Tiger Woods right now straight up in a match, who would you take? Me too. I'd go with Tiger. So the Phil Mickelson-Tom Brady team, legit underdogs. Okay, fine. That's good. It should make for some more compelling drama should they be able to win some holes early on. There is something that's going to maybe take place based on what happened last weekend, and we had a bit of an argument on this, on the Zolak and Bertrand show, as to whether or not these guys would be carrying their clubs. Zoe said, there's no way. Yeah, Brady's got to play football with his shoulder. I'm not going to carry his clubs. You know what? They might get shamed into it. Out of all the things that you could say from watching last weekend, it was pretty cool, and I believe everyone agrees, it was cool to see Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler, Matt Wolff, all out there walking 18, carrying their own clubs. We do it. I do it. You don't expect those guys to do it. But it was not quite a blue-collar moment, but it was like, wow. It was more like a Star magazine. Stars, they're just like us.
No push carts?
No. Could be a cart. Could be a cart for Brady if he wants to, you know. And does he have a legitimate reason for not wanting to carry his clubs and, you know, do that to his back? I don't know. I mean, I carry my clubs. It doesn't affect me. Tucker, you carry yours.
Right.
We're not, you know.
I don't own a push cart.
Yeah, it's just. And I've got one, and I've used it when I've played 18. I bought my cart years ago on a day when we were going to walk 36 holes, and I knew my limits, you know, going into that, but I don't use it hardly ever. You can carry your clubs for 18 holes. These guys certainly can do it. Will they do it? That'll be interesting from a golf perspective. All right. Let's continue talking about this. The prop bets, as I said, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz went over a little bit on the DraftKings over-under show earlier. I have some more odds for you and some stuff that you can bet on and things that they'll be looking for. All of that coming up here as we continue the Sports Hub Golf Club wrap-up show, the Opry Sports Hub Golf Club, also known as Twilight, also known as Mimosas, also known as, hey, it's Hardy.
Consider us your radio caddy, the Sports Hub Golf Club on 88.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, some more details on the match for tomorrow. By the way, it's Hardy. Hey, it's Hardy. Also doing the Sports Hub Golf Club wrap-up show. Hour-long show, followed by an hour-long wrap-up show. Seems fair. For tomorrow's match, Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. We're getting more info. The one thing I had learned just today was that Charles Barkley was going to join them on one hole, where he has a chance to make bogey or better for an additional $200,000 toward the charities that they're playing for. I think it's an inspired idea. I think it's fantastic. Last time, Barkley was there merely as a commentator for Tiger versus Phil, and the entire enterprise ended up falling a little flat in terms of entertainment value. So much more entertaining to have Tiger out there, or to have Barkley out there, I should say, actually making a swing and trying to make bogey or better on a hole. I love it. Great idea. In terms of the actual format of this thing, we had heard that they were going to do just a best ball, four-man best ball for the first nine holes, and then a modified alternate shot in the back nine. Getting a little bit more on that, okay? And this is both, I like it, but it also angers me, and I'll tell you why. So on the best ball in the front, that means that the team of Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning, whoever has the better score, that is the score that will count for their team. Best ball between those two, all right, versus Phil and Brady. However, Brady and Manning are each going to get three strokes on the front nine. They are going to get a stroke. If you're unfamiliar with this on the golf course, one stroke taken away from their score on a par three, a par four, and a par five. Okay, that seems fair. If you're playing with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, hell, I'd want a hell of a lot more than six strokes over the course of the round. But all right, they're going to give them strokes on the front, and I believe on the back and the. Well, they can on the modified alternate shot, so that's why they're only doing three on the front. The alternate shot will be, all right, here's the Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson team. Phil tees off, right? Then Tom will hit the shot from the fairway. And then Phil will hit the bunker shot because Tom put it, right there into the Johnny Cat. And then Tom will have the putt, and after he misses that, Phil will roll the putt in. That's alternate shot. You just take turns. They're also going to take one hole, number five, and they're only going to be allowed to use one club for the entire hole. This is a game that not a lot of people play because you don't want to mess up your round too much. When I lived in Vegas and used to play at the Muni out there all the time, the Las Vegas Golf Club, as it's called, more affectionately referred to as the Muni, and this is the one it's kind of in the shadow of the stratosphere in that part of town where the 15th hole runs right along the street and you could see Siegfried and Roy's house right across the street. Hear the lions roar, literally. And they kept the big cats there.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Roy. We used to do this on hole number 12 at the Las Vegas Muni where you're only allowed to play. It was 100, and depending on the tee box of that day, let's call it on average, you played it to about 125-yard par three, and you could only use a 7-iron for the entire hole. So, and why we chose 7-iron, I don't know. I guess maybe because it was something that was good to maybe hit a tiny knockdown with to only go 125 yards, but you could also use it for chipping and putting. But it's a fun way to play. They're going to do that tomorrow. Tiger and Phil and Tom and Peyton are going to take one hole where they can only use one club for the entire hole. And a lot of side bets are going to be encouraged, and they're going to have this going on. All this I like, and all this pleases me. What upsets me is they didn't take what I thought would be the best format for this event from the very beginning and run with it, because I was told, nah, it's too complicated. People won't understand it. They're doing a lot of complicated stuff here, and I think people would understand if they had decided to do a round-robin format. Well, you play the first six holes as one match and have it be Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. Play a match for six holes. Then we're going to change it up. For the next six holes, the teams are going to be Tiger Woods, Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning. And then for the last six holes, you ready for some real fun? Tiger and Phil versus Tom and Peyton. And Tom and Peyton get to go to the all the way forward tees, and they're each going to get a stroke on every hole. And you see if those guys playing from different tee boxes and getting a stroke on each hole could beat Tiger and Phil. It's a fantastic way to play just your normal friendly foursome on a given week to change up the teams every six holes. You have changing allegiances and alliances, and the guy you were talking crap to on the last hole is now your partner for the next six holes. It's great. It's a phenomenal way to play. But people convince me, I was like, oh, it's too complicated. People won't understand it. All this other stuff isn't going to be complicated. They're doing best ball on the front nine with Brady and Manning getting strokes on three holes, and they're changing it to the alternate shot, and they're going to have one hole where they only play with one club. There's plenty of stuff that's going to be complicated enough. They could have pulled off this round robin. It would have been no problem at all. Still, I think this already has potential to be a lot better than what we saw last weekend. And I'm really happy at the amount of money they raised last weekend, and it was cool to see Matt Wolf out there, you know, pounding the ball like he did, and to have it come down to that final closest to the pin shot and having the final shot from Rory McIlroy be the one that won it. But overall, I would say it was kind of a lackluster viewing experience. This one tomorrow is already shaping up to be a much, much better way to spend your Sunday afternoon. Starting with the pregame show at 2, a one-hour pregame, and then the match starting at 3 p.m. All right, let's get to the prop bets finally here, and also a quick discussion as to who is the bigger GOAT. I'm going to revisit this, I think, next weekend too, as Golf Digest did a great breakdown of Tiger Woods versus Tom Brady. Who is the bigger GOAT? Who is the greatest of all time between Tom Brady and Tiger Woods? Well, I have a couple of minutes to touch on it today. Maybe we'll do more of that next weekend. I think we'll definitely do more of that next weekend. But some more prop bets, too, coming up for the match tomorrow, which we'll do next here as the Sports Hub Golf Club wrap-up show continues.
This is the show that helps you put it in the hole. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 Sports Hub.
All right, here to put a wrap on the wrap-up show, the Sports Hub Golf Club wrap-up show, a.k.a. Hey, it's Hardy, a.k.a. Opry Sports Hub Golf Club, a.k.a. Twilight, a.k.a. Mimosas. A lot of bets being had. I am not one of these people that feels I have to bet on something. I got to bet on something. I got to bet on marble racing. I got to bet on the horse racing. I got to bet on the
hole in one.
German soccer. I got to bet on the hole in one. No, but there are people, they just need to bet, you know, for them, the action is the juice, you know, to quote the movie Heat, which if you got 3 hours to kill, I can think of a lot worse ways to do it. But here are some of the props. I know people have been talking about them, and Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz went over a lot of them on the DraftKings Over Under show this morning. Peyton Manning hits the fairway in regulation on the first hole. No. Plus 100. It's according to DraftKings. He's got a swing that is made to find the fairways. Golf Digest did a breakdown of some of these bets, and he is not going to be put off by the moment, by the cameras, anything else. But has he ever had to play with the knowledge that there are people betting on whether or not he finds the fairway with his opening drive? If you've seen his swing, it is compact, and it is a fairway finding type of swing. I mean, it's a relatively straight ball. If I were to bet, I'm not going to bet on any of these, I don't think. But I'd bet Peyton finds a fairway on the first hole. Why not? Longest tee shot on the third hole, Phil Mickelson, +105. You know, Phil's been doing his thing. It's like, I'm out there to hit bombs. I'm out there to do this. He actually does hit the ball pretty far. He's 42nd in driving distance over the last 50 rounds on tour, which is, for what it's worth, about 100 places in front of Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger uses a 3-wood off the tee a lot, so maybe that's not completely fair. And this is Tiger's course where he knows, you know, where to go and how to find it and, you know, where they're going to do the long drive. But if you want to bet that one, that's not a bad bet either. What style hat will Phil Mickelson wear? That doesn't interest me. Will either team hold a shot from off the green? Yes, +260. This one, I think, is worth maybe a few bucks. Between Tiger playing at his home course and Phil Mickelson's short game, having one of these guys hold a shot from anywhere off the green, that includes chip shots. That includes, like, all these shots I see these guys take where they're chipping from the fringe, where I am the Texas wedge king. If I can putt it, I am putting it. You understand me? And the phrase putts from the rough may mean something different to you, but to me, it literally means, oh, that rough's not that rough. Give me the short stick. I can roll that thing out of the green from here and get it. I can almost guarantee you closer than if I try and hit.
Run.
Oh, my God. If I try and hit a delicate little tiny flop, I'm above the hole in the rough, and I am all the way downhill to the pin, and by the way, the pin's only 15 feet off because I've managed to short side myself again. Give me the putter. Let me get that thing on the green and let me let it roll a little bit. I'm totally okay with that. Go ahead and give me whatever look you want, or the hybrid play. I love the hybrid out of that rough. But anyway, yes, I would wager a few bucks on that. I will not even give the credit to talking about what will there be a hole in one. If you're getting thousands, if you're getting odds in the thousands on that, maybe fine. Throw a few bucks down. Watch there be a hole in one tomorrow. Oh my God, are people going to love it?
Especially Joe Murray.
Oh, Joe Murray will—he's buying lunch. I can tell you that much. If he's really putting 25 bucks down at +900 for a hole in one, it's the dumbest odds I've ever heard of. People will bet it though; they're going to love it. All right, and whether or not the match ends on the 18th hole or in a playoff, I think someone's going to close this thing out beforehand. They'll probably play all 18 just to, you know, fill up the time. But I don't think it's going to go the distance, so to speak. Christian Arcand is here, filling in for Big Jim Murray this morning. Christian, what's going on,
Bo? That is correct. In for Murray today. He got a nice head start on the long weekend. I'm in with Gasper, who's somewhere, not sure. And we got till 1 o'clock here to, well, see where everything is. We have a bit more of a clearer picture, I think, right now on the beginnings of the NHL with that thing getting ratified yesterday. The NBA seems to have a plan in place, and Major League Baseball on Tuesday will be taking another step there. So we'll start there. We'll get to Brady. We'll get to all that good stuff here, kicking off the summer here this weekend.
Yeah, it doesn't feel – yesterday felt like the unofficial start of summer.
It did.
This morning, it does not feel like the unofficial start of summer out there. And I must have missed – like the latest forecast over the last couple of days. I thought we had like a nice weekend. I thought we had like 4 straight days. It's not exactly pleasant out there right now, is it?
No, not great. Not great. It's not terrible, but you're right. It was much more summery yesterday, to be sure. I think for the rest of the weekend, we're looking at, you know, 60s, 70s. Nah.
That's fine.
I'll take it.
I will absolutely take it, but you know, look on the bright side. For everybody who's being kept off the beaches for a couple more days,
right.
You're not missing all that.
Any big plans, Hardy?
Oh, shoosh.
Want to know what mine are?
Tons. Well, you're going to be here until 1 o'clock.
No. After that.
Tell me.
I'm going to wear shorts.
Wow.
That's my big plan this week. I'm putting on shorts.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to sit in my apartment wearing shorts. It's going to be awesome.
I wore shorts when I played for the first time on Thursday. It was I think the first time I had shorts on, like, out in public this year. And then I put them on again yesterday.
Nice.
When I got home from work.
So. All right. I've been saving it for a special occasion. That special occasion is today.
Big day.
There you
All
go.
Right. All right. Christian Arcan coming up. Chris Gasper is here. Good to see you, buddy. I haven't seen Gasper in a while. This is great. Did we maybe we passed,
just here yesterday.
maybe I wouldn't hear yesterday when Gasper was.
Oh here. Yeah, that's right. He's later in the
we
show.
We may have passed in the parking lot here recently, but the days are all blending together. All right, quick headlines here, and then Arcan and Gasper coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Thank you for everything this morning, Tucker. Thank you to Lenny Clark, who called into the show today, and thanks to Randy Ash and Chuck Gilman, body coaches there at TB12, talking about I'm going to stay limber as you get back onto the course. As I said, Arcan and Gasper coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.